Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and today's show is for Tuesday, December the 20th, 2016, and we will be covering 2 Samuel chapter 19 and 20. So, this is a continuation of the story of Dawid, and this is after the death of his son Abishalom by the hand of Joab, who was commanded not to harm him, but did anyway. He killed him. Verse 1 of chapter 19 is verse 33 of chapter 18 in the King James Version and others, but in the Hebrew it is the first verse of chapter 19, and I use the Hebrew word order and chapter order before it was tampered with by the King James perverters. So let's start with verse 1. Perturbed, 7264, was the king, and he went up to the chamber, 5944, over the gate. That was the guard chamber. And wept, saying thus as he went, "My son Abishalom, my son Abishalom, oh that I had died instead of you, Abishalom, my son, my son." In other words, he was deeply in grief. Even though Abishalom was basically rotten and tried to kill his own father, he had a father's love for his son, even though he erred and sinned against him. So that shows what kind of a man David was, or Dawid was. Keep using that name, David. Dawid was, as far as his children, he loved his children. So let's get into verse 2 here. It was told to Joab, "Behold, the king weeps," 105:8. "And mourns," 56, "over Abishalom." Verse 3, "The victory," 8668, "that day became mourning," 60, "to all the people, because the people heard it said that day how the king is in pain," 6087, "the pain of grief over his son." Verse 4, "The people came by stealth," 1589, "that day into the city as people being ashamed," 3637, "steal away," 1589, "when fleeing in battle." In other words, they all just quietly gathered to show their support for Dawid. They came into the city quietly. They didn't come in a great loud procession like after a normal battle. Verse 5. The king covered, 3813, his face, and the king cried out with a great voice, "My son Abishalom, Abishalom, my son, my son." He was just really stricken. Verse 6. Came Joab to the house of the king and said, "You have shamed this day," that's 954, shamed, "the faces of all your subjects, which saved your lives this day, the lives of your sons and daughters, and the lives of your wives and concubines. You love those who hate you, and hate those who love you, because you have declared this day that captains and subjects are nothing. Because this day I know that if Abishalom had lived and all of us had died this day, then it would look right in your eyes." That's upright, 3477. Verse 8. "Now rise up, go forth, and speak upon the hearts of your subject, because I swear by Yahweh, if you do not go forth, there will not one man stay with you this night, and that will be more harmful, 7589, to you than all the harm, 7451, that has come upon you from your youth until now." In other words, he just came in and castigated Dawid, for mourning over his traitorous son and ignoring the people that fought for his very life, that saved his kingdom for him. And here, I'm going to have to say it, Joab was right. I'm gonna have to fall on the side of Joab on this one. He had his reasons for killing Abishalom. Remember, the king wouldn't do anything about the one son that raped the other son's sister. He wouldn't take action. Well, he wouldn't take action against Abishalom. So, there's contention going on. This is all in turmoil. And it's going to be that way, his whole kingship. Samuel warned Israel what was going to happen if they picked a king. Okay. Now here's the best of the kings, King David, Dawid. I keep using that name, David. I don't speak it a lot, so I haven't gotten myself into the habit of using the correct name. The king rose up and sat in the gate, and it was told to all the people, saying, "The king sits in the gate." And all the people came before the king, because Israel had fled, every man to his tent. Verse 10. All the people were at strife, 1777, in all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us from the hand of our hated enemies, and he saved us from the hand of the Philistines, and now has fled from the land because of Abishalom." Verse 11, "And Abishalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now why are you silent, 2790, about returning the king?" In other words, boy, we really fouled up, and we really need to go and support King Dawid. They realized their error of supporting the son instead of the father. Verse 12. The king David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Yehuda, saying, why are you the last to return the king to his home? The speech of all Israel has come to the king to his house. In other words, why are you the last to show support? Verse 13, you are my kinsman, you are my bones and my flesh. Why then are you the last to return to the king? Verse 14, say to Amasa, are you not of my bone and my flesh? Elohim, do so to me and more also, if you will not become commander, 8269, of the army before me all the days in place of 8478, Joab. Uh-oh. Joab's going to be replaced. Joab disobeyed David. Verse 15. So he turned, 5186, the hearts of all the men of Yehuda as one man. So they sent to the king, return, you and all your servants. Verse 16. So the king returned and came to the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, and Yehuda, that's the whole tribe of Yehuda, came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to pass over the king over the Jordan. Verse 17. And you can reference verse 17 in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 13. Verse 17. Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benyamini, which was from Bakurim, hastened and came down with the men of Yehuda to meet King David. Now let's stop right here. This is the same Shimei that had cursed David and thrown stones and dust and rocks and stuff at him. Verse 18. And 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Shaul, and his 15 sons and 20 slaves with him, and they rushed, 6743, over the Jordan before the king. Okay, remember Ziba. Ziba lied about Mephibosheth to get his land. That's going to catch up to him. Verse 19, and verse 19 through 24, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. They passed over a ford, 5679, to pass over the king's household. That's a low place in the river, very shallow, and to do what was good in his eyes. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down, 5307, before the king as he passed over the Jordan. In other words, he prostrated himself because he knew he was toast. Verse 20, and said to the king, let not my lord impute, 2803, iniquity, 5771, to me, nor remember, 2142, what your servant did wrong, 5753, the day that my lord went forth from Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Verse 21, because your servant knows that I have sinned, 2398, therefore, behold, I have come first this day of all the house of Joseph to go forth to meet my lord the king. Boy, he's just sucking up something horrible. Verse 22. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered, that's Joab's brother. He was another warrior guy. answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed Yahweh's anointed?" These guys were always wanting to kill somebody. Verse 23, said Dawid, "What has this to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries?" 7854, that's Lesatan. "This day, should be put to death a man of Israel this day? Because do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" In other words, I've been justified by winning the battle and all the stuff that's happened. I don't need any more reassurance that we need to kill somebody else. Verse 24. Said the king to Shimei, "You shall not be put to death," swore to him the king. Now, verse 24, you can reference 1 Kings 2, verses 8 and 9. And Shimei would die later, okay? It'll happen. Just be patient. Verse 25. Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, that's the one that Ziba stole his land. Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, came forth to meet the king and had not prepared his feet nor prepared his mustache, 8222, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until he came in peace. Verse 26. It came to be, when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, "For what reason went you not with me, Mephibosheth?" Verse 27. And he answered, "My lord king, my servant deceived me," 7411, "because your servant said, I will saddle an ass that I may ride upon it and go to the king's." Go to the king, "because your servant is lame." Verse 28, "and he has slandered," 7270, "your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is as a messenger." 4397, that they translate that as angels. "A messenger of Elohim, do what is good in your eyes." Verse 29, "because all of my father's house were not but dead men before my lord the king, yet you set your servant among those that eat at your table. What right," 6666, "have I yet to cry out any more to the king?" Verse 30, said the king to him, "Why speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land." Said, verse 31, said Mephibosheth to the king, "Yea, let him take all, after which my lord the king has come in peace to his own house." Verse 32. Now, verse 32, you can reference 2 Samuel 17, verses 27 through 29. "And Barzillai the Gileadi came down from Rogelim and passed over the Jordan with the king to send him over the Jordan." Verse 33. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years of age, and he had sustained, 3557, the king while he stayed at Machanaim, for he was a very great man, and that means prosperous. Verse 34, said the king to Barzillai, pass over you with me, and I will feed you with me in Jerusalem. Now 3557 to feed. Verse 35, said Barzillai to the king, how many days of my years have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? Verse 36, I this day am 80 years of age. Do I know between good and evil? Servant, taste, 2938, what I eat or what I drink. Can I hear any more the voices of singers, 7891, or songstresses, 7891? Why then should your servant yet be a burden, 4853, to my lord the king? Verse 37, your servant could pass only a little way over the Jordan with the king, but why should the king deal out to, 1580, me such a reward, 1578? Verse 38, let your servant please return, so I may die in my own city by the sepulchre of my father and mother. But behold, your servant Kimham, 3643, let him pass over with my lord the king and do to him what is good in your eyes. Verse 39, answered the king, Kimham shall pass over with me, and I will do to him that which in your eyes is good, and that all you shall choose of me, I will do for you. In other words, he just couldn't thank that old man enough. The old man paid him while he was on the run, and during the battles, he gave him food and all that, and provender for his troops, and a real supporter. He walked the walk, he didn't talk the talk. He was the real deal. And just had the utmost respect of King Darwin. Verse 40, all the people passed over the Jordan, and when the king passed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Verse 41, the king passed through to Gilgal, and Kimham passed through with him. All the people passed through with the king, and also half the people of Israel. Verse 42, and behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why have our kinsmen, the men of Yehuda, stolen you away, 1589, and have passed over the king and his household and all of Dawood's men with him over the Jordan? Verse 43, all the men of Yehuda answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. That's 7138, near of kin. For what reason are you angry, 2734, over this matter? Have we eaten anything of the king's, or has he given us any gifts? Verse 44, the men of Israel answered the men of Yehuda and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have more also in Dawood than you. Why did you treat us with contempt, 7043, as if our advice, 1697, was not first to return our king? But the words of the men of Yehuda were fiercer, 7185, then the words of the man of Israel. The disobedience of Joab has come back on him, but he's going to have to deal with Dawood later, due to his disobedience. Dawood showed weakness, and didn't deal with his disobedient son. Right from the get-go, when he started sitting as a judge at the gate and taking on more than he should have stopped it. Same way Dawood showed weakness in the matter of Abishalom's sister that was raped. He should have punished the rapist. Shimei tries to make nice with Dawood and thinks he is forgiven, but when Shlomo, Dawood's son, takes the kingship later on, he will eventually kill Shimei. Sheba's lies about Mephibosheth are exposed this will work itself out later. It doesn't go into a lot of great detail what happened to Sheba, but he was a rotten person to do that to Mephibosheth with the bad feet. There is friction between the men of Yehuda and the other people of Israel. This is going to simmer until the split of the tribes. And that will occur in right after Shlomo passes away, because Shlomo's going to be a great king at first and then an utter fool and an idol worshiper at the last. We'll get into that. But Yahweh's going to split the tribes, and you'll have the tribe of Yehuda and Benjamin, and then you'll have the other tribes, and they will go to the north, and Yehuda will stay in the south, which is the Negev region. That means south, and it means the desert area. Jerusalem is not in the best agricultural section, and it was desert like even then. They've been pumping water and irrigating over in the bandit state of Israeli, and I don't know. You don't get a lot of news, and you don't see a lot of photographs, because the Jews are not farmers. So let's get into chapter 20 here. I'm going to get a hit of juice. And that has helped me keep my pipes clear so I don't cough so much. That's a blessing. This is about a revolt of a man named Sheba. And chapter 20, verse 1, their chance to be there, 7122, chance to be there is all one word. A man of Belial, that's worthlessness, that's 1100, whose name was Sheba, 7652. The son of Bichri, 1075. A man of Yamini. Yamini is an abbreviation for Binyamini. That's 1145. That's a Benjaminite. He blew a shofar, which was a signal, and said, "We have no portion," 2506, "in Dawood, and no inheritance," 5159, "in the son of Yishai. Every man to his tent, O Israel." See, this is this friction, and he's playing on this dissension between Israel and Yehuda to usurp power. verse 2. All the men of Israel went up from following David, following Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Yehuda stayed with, 1692, their king, from the Jordan to Jerusalem. This is still on this journey. Now we're here at verse 3 of chapter 20, and you can reference 2 Samuel 16:22. This is about the concubines that were defiled by Abishalom. He went into them up on the roof in the tent. Okay. Verse 3, David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 woman concubines whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in a house of guard. 4931, that's Mishmereth. That's a guarded place of safety. And sustained them, and provided for them, that's Kalakalem. 3557, but went not in unto them, so they were restricted, 6887, that's as in seclusion, to the days of their death, living as widows, 491. In other words, they were defiled, and he would have no further sexual contact with these concubines. A concubine is a woman that has children for a man. She's not a wife. Verse 4. Said the king to Amasa, call out, 2199, the men of Yehuda, within 3 days be standing here. Okay. He had replaced Joab with Amasa. Verse 5, so Amasa went to call out Yehuda, but he tarried longer, 3186, than the appointed time, 4150, which he had appointed, 3259, for him. He took longer than the set time of 3 days. Verse 6, said David to Abishai, now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will be more injurious, 7489, than Abishalom. Take you your Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he finds, 4672, fortified, 1219, cities, and takes away, 5337, our eye, 5869, and takes away our eye means eludes our sight. That's a figure of speech, takes away our eye. In other words, we won't be able to find them. Verse 7, went forth after him Joab's men, the Kerethi and Pelethi, and all the mighty men, 1368, that's Dawid's personal troops, and they went forth from Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. They were close to the great stone which is in Gibeon, and Amasa had gone before them. Joab's garment he had put on was girded on him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in a sheath. And as he went forth, it fell out. Joab's had a sword girded on him. It fell out. I'm sure it just fell out. Oops. I have a sword in my hand. Imagine that. Verse 9, said Joab to Amasa, peace to you, brother. And Joab took hold of Amasa's beard with the right hand to kiss him. That was just a kiss on the cheek. And again, it shows that the men were bearded. On verse 9, I keep stressing this. Verse 10, but Amasa was not on guard against the sword in Joab's hand, so he smote him with it in the belly, 25-70, and poured out, 82-10, his inward parts on the ground, and he did not strike him again, and he died. In other words, he gutted him without warning. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Verse 11, and a man of Joab's young men stood over him and said, who that delights, 2654, in Joab, and who that is for Dawid, follow Joab. Verse 12, Amasa rolled, 1556, in blood in the middle of the highway, 4546. In other words, he wasn't quite dead. A gut wound takes a little while to kill you, but he was bleeding out. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway into a field and cast down a cloth over him. When he saw that all that came upon him stood still. In other words, he drug him off into a field and threw a cloth over him. And then Joab is now in command again because he murdered his rival. I told you, Joab's not a good fella. Verse 13, when he was moved from the highway, all the people passed through after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Verse 14. He had passed through all the tribes of Israel, and that's speaking of Sheba, to Abel, 59, of Beth Ma'aka, 103:8, and all the Beri, 1276, assembled, 7035, and went also after him. Verse 15, they came and laid siege upon him and Abel of Beth Ma'aka, and they poured out a siege mound against the city, and it stood on the rampart. 2426, and all the people that were with Joab destroyed, 7843, the wall, 2346, to throw it down. 5307, a siege mound is earth poured out from baskets against a wall so they can go up and batter the top of the wall where it's the weakest and destroy it and work their way down and open a big breach in the wall so the attacking troops can go in and kill everybody. Verse 16, they hadn't destroyed the wall yet. Called out a wise woman from the city, a woman of wisdom. Hear, please say to Joab, come near to here that I may speak with you. Verse 17, when he came near to her, the woman said, are you Joab? And he replied, I am. Then she said to him, hear the words of your maidservant. And he said, I hear. Verse 18, she spoke saying, in former times they often spoke saying, they shall surely ask of Abel. So they ended the matter. I am of the peaceful and faithful ones in Israel. You seek to put to death, 4191, a city and a mother, 517, in Israel. Why will you swallow up, 1104, the inheritance of Yahweh? Verse 20, answered Joab and said, far be it, 2486, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Verse 21, the matter is not so. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against the king, against Dawid. Give us him only, and I will depart from against the city. Said the woman to Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall. Verse 22. The woman went to all the people with her wisdom, 2451. And they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it down to Joab. And he blew a shofar, that's a signal, and they dispersed, 6327, from against the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Well, I imagine that the people of that city went out and dismantled that siege mound and poured the dirt out someplace else. Verse 23, now Joab was over all the armies of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethi and over the Pelethi. Those were two sects of warriors under Joab. And under him was Benaiah, who was over the Kerethi and over the Pelethi. He was the sub-commander over those two groups. Verse 24, Adoram, 151, was over the forced laborers. 4522, those are the ones that were in tribute to Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. That's 2142. That's one who remembers. He wrote down a lot of the histories and stuff. Verse 25, Shua, 7724, was scribe, 5608, and that's one who writes. And Sadok and Ebiathar were the priests. Verse 26, Ira, 5896, the Yairi, 2972, was a chieftain, 3548, unto Dawid. And 3548, you see 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18, as a class of priests that ministered to the king. They did the religious duties of the royal house. They were in charge of that, but they were not of the Aharonic priesthood. We've got Joab murdering Amasa. because he was late. He got hung up and had other things happen, and he couldn't get back in time. Well, he just killed him. He says, oh, well, he was late. That's the reason I killed him. This is a crime. And he not only murdered Abner in direct opposition to Dawud, but he murdered the man that Dawud had placed as his replacement because of his power madness. He was just not good. He killed his son when he directly commanded him, don't hurt my son. And he killed him. He and his men. So eventually, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Dawud will order Joab's death. He's going to have him killed later on, and when we're done with 2 Samuel here. And I've got two more shows about 2 Samuel before we're done. Tomorrow we're going to do verses 21 and 22, and Thursday we'll do 23 and 24, and that'll end that book. And then we'll get into the book of Kings. But right now we've got all this trouble brewing between Israel and the house of Yehuda. And they've got it settled for right now with this Sheba's death. But it's lurking in the background and it's simmering, and all is not well. Okay? Things are troubled. There are troubled times for King Dawud. He has made a number of mistakes, and it's costing him. He's losing loyalty. People are not his big fans anymore like they used to be. People are seeing cracks in the foundation, so to speak. Now, this was foretold by Shemuel, and this is the best king of the lot. He was the best of the best of all the kings. Okay? Shlomo's going to start out great, and then he's going to go downhill. And then you get all the way down to Hezekiah, Hizkiyahu. And Yahweh's going to save his life and give him more time and bless him and do all this stuff. And then he's going to get arrogant in his last days. I mean, you're dealing with men. And we're seeing what we've got today when we're dealing with men in the governments of the world today. They're wicked. They're dishonest. They lie. They have people killed. They're violent. They foment wars. The only righteous government we're going to have is that of Yeshua the Messiah when he returns. And we keep, we got this guy's elected and he's going to do this and he's going to change everything. And okay, the guy's not even inaugurated yet, folks. And a president can't change anything without Congress approving it. And it's the same guys in Congress. Oh, we've had a big change. They're all bought and paid for. They are not going to be allowed by the puppet masters to disassemble the puppet master's little empire, because this country is not ruled by the president nor Congress. It is ruled by the hidden super rich puppet masters that are not elected. You don't know their names. Well, we know some of them. And they're working behind the scenes and they're issuing the orders, mainly from the House of Rothschild, to these politicians. You're going to do this and this and this. But I promise the people, Audrey, you don't worry about the people. We pull your strings. You're paid by us. And if you don't do what we say, you're going to have an unfortunate accident. They even kill presidents, folks, with the greatest security in the world. I mean, does a ton of bricks have to fall on you for you to wake up? I don't know. A lot of the guys that listen to the shows here are very much aware of what's going on. We've got a big listening audience now at EFR. The show downloads are tremendous. But I'm trying to reach the fence sitters. The guys that are in the know, you know, the guys that are in the choir listen to my show too. So I preach to the choir somewhat. But I impart new information and they write stuff down and then look it up. But I'm after the fence sitters that are not in the know. And I'm trying to wake you up so you will be part of the remnant in these last days. And you get numbered among the sheep instead of among the goats. It's hard times and they're going to get harder. We're gradually slipping away politically. And I really don't care about politics that much. Honestly, I don't care who is elected. And I'll be real clear. I don't care whether the country is falling apart, because when Yeshua Messiah comes, every government on this planet will fall simultaneously. And there will be one ruler, and that will be Yeshua. He will be our king, Yahweh in the flesh, and he will reign with righteousness, not man-made laws. He's going to have Yahweh's laws that are going to be enforced. And then we will have righteous government for everybody. Everybody's going to be treated righteously. Those that need to be punished will be punished. They will not be let off because they bribed somebody. The super rich are not going to be able to buy justice, and the poor man is going to get justice if he deserves it. And if he doesn't deserve it, then he's going to get punishment. You know, righteousness, just because a man's poor doesn't mean he's innocent. Just because a man is rich doesn't mean he's guilty. Justice is justice. And it's no respecter of persons. And that's what we're going to have under Yeshua, the Messiah. We're not going to have this inconsistency and lies like we have under the government of man. Man's government is always corrupt. That's a sad thing to say. I mean, I'm sorry. They had good intentions when they founded this country. They used to have all the good common law and everything in Britain, and the people were treated fairly, and they were law-abiding people. But now they've got people that are betrayers in there, and they're bringing in all these foreigners and overrunning the country and violence and crime. And even in London, there are places where real British people can't go. Now, what's wrong with that picture? No, this is our neighborhood. You go out, white man. You are not allowed here. Okay. Really? That's British? That's not British. They're not British. Britain for Britons. Okay? Scots in Scotland, Irishmen in Ireland, Welshmen in Wales, Jerseymen in Jersey, Londoners in London. Not Mustafa. Okay? Real Brits in real British cities. Well, same over here. They're flooding us. We just have a bigger landmass, and they're spreading them out all over the place here. And we are not to have them among us. First of all, they're worshipers of a false god. We're not to have that with us. And they are not of our racial demographic, and we are not to have a stranger above us. Well, we have had 8 years of this creature in the White House in Washington. And there's all these things about Michelle Obama being Michael Obama. And they've done lots of studies. And I've seen them, and I personally, my personal opinion, I believe they are correct. But I can't, that's my opinion, okay? Only. I'm allowed an opinion. But I can't demonstrate it as a physical fact. We can't get the proof on that because it is suppressed. We're not allowed to have the facts. They're being kept secret. Now, what kind of free government is that? Secret? Oh, you're not allowed to have these are secret. Okay, that's not the government we're supposed to have. But then we have not had the government we're supposed to have for quite some time. But I've used up almost 58 minutes of the show here. We will be getting into chapters 21 and 22 about the Gibeonites who had become servants to Israel, and the house of Shaul tried to put them to death. And the Gibeonites are going to want revenge. So we're going to start out with that tomorrow in chapter 21. At this point in time, I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. And you have a good day. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you tomorrow, where we will take up with chapters 21 and 22 with 2 Samuel. So, Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.